All right, let's pray. Father, not our will, but your perfect will is being done in our hearts, in our souls, in our spirits, in our bodies, in our consciousness, in our subconsciousness. Father, we thank you that your perfect will is being done. For we have asked and we have received. We will not. We cannot. We refuse to leave here the same way we came. In Jesus' name. How many believe that? Give him a big praise. Amen. I'm not leaving here the same way I came. I change. I like this. A man of God was casting out a demon out of a woman in Africa. And that demon was talking to the man of God. And that demon said, "We've sent our forces at you, but we can't get no hold on you because your master keeps changing you from second to second." Come on. You see that? Yeah, that demon was complaining, so he couldn't get his hands on him because the Lord was changing him from second to second. So when he thought he had him something, it changed. You understand? Listen, I'm changing all the time. Listen, if you're serving God, you're constantly changing. How many believe? See, it says living water, not dead water.
Amen.
How many believe living water is changing?
Yes.
Dead water is not changing.
No.
It's standing still. Anybody that's, well, God, I love it. It said Enoch walked with God. He traveled with God, you see. He moved with God. He marched with God and was no more. Okay? Listen, if anybody comes in, I go to some men of God and I met them 10 years ago and I can go to their service and they're the same man of God I saw 10 years ago. You ain't going to find that with me. I'm not going to be the same I was 2 weeks ago. Changing. Constantly changing. I mean, want to change tonight.
Amen.
All right. Let's get into this thing. It's going to be powerful now. You just get everything out and listen very carefully. You catch this. All right. You catch this holy thing. You will never say the same. You'll grow and grow. We've been talking about the innocent blood, haven't we?
Yes.
Let's go back to Genesis. I want to show you something. Well, let's read the scripture. First of all, I'm sorry. Let's go to 1 John real quick, and then we're going to go to Genesis. Go to 1 John, not St. John, 1 John. Go to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read this. 1 John chapter 1. It kind of starts off like Genesis. It says, "That which was from the what?"
Beginning.
The beginning. What was from the beginning? He said, "Which we have what? Heard. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked," what? "Upon. And our hands have handled of the word of" what?
"Life.
For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard and declared unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now, look at verse 5. He says, "This then is the message." Y'all see that? Y'all see that? So what's he saying? He's saying, "This is the message." What does that mean? It's the message that trumps all messages. How many believe there's a lot of messages in the world? Did you know that everything that's wrong in the world with people is because they're listening to the wrong counsel?
Yes. Yep.
They're listening to the wrong message. That's the problem. That's what was wrong with my life for many years. I was listening to the wrong message, the wrong counsel, you see. He said, "This is the message which we have heard of Him and declared unto you," look, "that God" what? That word "light" in the New Testament, that word is also fire. That word is lightning. Okay? So God is fire. God is lightning. And I like the way that Paul says it like this. He says, our God is a consuming fire. You ever heard it? That's why you can't stay the same, because if you're in that fire is what? It's changing you. You understand what I'm saying? I used to weld, and when I was a welder, when you strike the fire to the metal, as soon as the fire hits the metal, it changes the composition of the metal immediately. That's why if you're welding in certain places, and if you just touch the welding machine to it, it'll leave what is called an arc mark. And buddy, if they test that, and there's an arc mark on it outside that weld, it's no good. Because it changes the molecular structure of the metal. And you got to cut it out. And they get real particular on it. So if you start leaving arc marks as a welder in a high pressure situation, because that arc marks, it's real important on high pressured vessels or pipe or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? Because over time, what it will do is that pressure will crack it. You see what I'm saying? It won't crack it in the weld. It'll do it outside the weld. All right? Okay? How many knows we're called vessels? How many knows we're called vessels? Some gold and silver, that's metal, isn't it? Okay? Fire changes metal. What do they do when they make swords? You ever watch a sword smith or whatever? Blacksmith? You see? And they have to learn how to get the right what? Temperatures. Know how long to keep it in the fire. How long to pull it out. And when they pull it out, how long to like slowly bring the temperature down. All that kind of stuff. Very, very important. There's very few masters in the world still that can do that correctly. And if they do it right, that blade will not get, once you sharpen it and everything, it hardly won't get what? Well, hardly won't get dull. And it hardly won't wear out. You see? But if you do it wrong, it becomes what? Useless. Because it's brittle. And it will what? How many believe we have a master smith?
Amen.
If you let the Lord do it. You understand what I'm saying? So, God is light. God is a consuming fire. God is lightning. So, if it also says God is what? Love, right? So, love really is a what?
Fire.
Love is a fire. That's why when people say, you know, I mess with ministers all the time because, you know, they talk about the lake of fire. And I tell them, well, the lake of fire is actually a lake of love. You ever been around somebody that want to be loved?
Yeah.
Huh? What happens when you love someone that don't want to be loved? They start dancing. Well, they want to get high of there. Because it gets what? Hot. It gets hot. Okay? So actually, when it says that God takes these people and throws them into the lake of... What it is a point where He says you're not running any... You're not running anymore. I'm going to throw you into the fullness of love. Now, that's rough, too. I'm going to tell you something. Because if you become darkness and you get thrown into love, buddy, whew, it's rough. It's better to turn yourself over to the Master and let Him bring you through the process than to you just run, and then He decides, well, you know what? You're not going to run no four, and just picks you up and throws you into the fight. It's a lot easier just to submit. Now, even submitting is painful, isn't it? You said. Okay? Now listen. We're going somewhere. Let's just hang with me. Alright. So the rest of verse 5, it says, and in Him is some darkness. A little darkness. Maybe just a no. How many believe no is no? How many believe that? In Him is no darkness. When a blacksmith, he sees a rock and this rock has got a bunch of gold in it, you know what he'll do? He wants to extract the what? He wants the gold. He don't care about the rest of the stuff. But what he'll do, he'll stick it in what? A fire. He'll start heating it up and then the whole rock will begin to what? It will begin to melt down. Alright? And when it melts down, then listen, how it works is everything that's not of gold will begin to come to the top. Alright? Now what does he do? When it starts to come to the top, he gets a strainer and he skims it and he takes it, it's called dross. He takes it and he skims it and gets that dross off the top, making sure that none of the gold is wasted. So he lets the gold fall. If he scoops some gold with it, he lets it fall back down. Does that make sense? Okay? And then what happens? He keeps doing this process, and here's the point I want to get to. How does he know that there's pure gold? It's very simple. He knows it's pure gold when that he can look into it and see himself. When it becomes a mirror, then he knows it's gold. There's no spots in the mirror. It says he's looking for a bride without. You see? That's why he said to the Laodicean church, he said to them, he said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in fire. What he's saying is, no one else can work this process but what? Me. You can't buy it somewhere. You have to submit to my process, my work. You see? And it is the work of being tried by fire. All these preachers that preach now this stuff about, you know, Jesus went through it so you don't have to. No. What did Jesus go through? He said, follow me. He said, the servant is no greater than the master. Is that what he said? So he said is, if I went through it, so will you. You understand what I'm saying? They don't want to preach that. He said, because people don't want to hear that. And then they won't give them no money. But I can't be bought with a price. How many people in here can't be bought with a price? I can't be bought with a price. I got one hallelujah. I got one hallelujah, the people that can't be bought with a price. Come on. Verse 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not, what? Do not the truth. See? You can't have both, right? I know a lot of people like that. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is what? If we walk in the fire as He is in the fire, you see, we have fellowship one with another. Oh, wait. What does this one with another have to do with light and fire? Because, buddy, you start fellowship with certain people, they're the fire. Is that right? That means they start bringing stuff out of you that you didn't even know was there. You understand what I'm saying? Stuff that ain't good. Is it true? That's how God purifies us, y'all. God purifies through fellowship one with... Did y'all know that? See, to have patience, you got to be around someone that gets on your nerve to learn what patience is. Is that right? To have long suffering, you got to be around someone that makes you suffer. For a long time. Right? And then, oh, so don't think too, you're causing somebody else to suffer too. So don't think that. So they're hanging around you suffering. Hanging around you. Because I'm going to tell you a secret God showed me a long time ago. A long time ago to me, because I'm traveling so fast. It seems like a long time ago, but in natural, it really wasn't that long ago. He showed me that all the trouble I'm having with other people, you see, is the trouble I'm giving Him. What is aggravating me about them is what aggravates Him about me. That's what He showed me. That was a great lesson in life. That was a great turning point in my life. That's when I really began to start to... That understanding was a big breakthrough that allowed me to start to begin to be able to start maturing. Does that make sense? Now, once you get that revelation and then applying it is another... You know, you can have that revelation, but then starting to, you know, apply it and do it is another thing. So remember this. All the people that's in your life right now that you want to pull your hair out sometimes and you want to do this and that, and then you just can't get rid of them, they're there for a reason. They're a fire
that God has brought to your life to get some stuff out of you that you didn't know was there. They're not the problem. The problem is what's inside of you. And it needs to come out. The quicker you stop pointing the finger at them and crying to God about what they're doing. Can I get some amens in here? The quicker that God can show you that, wait a minute, you see this stuff, this ugly stuff? Look, they didn't bring it into your life. So that's what I had to learn. See, I thought, just like everybody else that's self-centered. Because everybody starts off self-centered. How many believe that? I was just like everybody else. Okay? Until He began to change my way of thinking. See, when you're self-centered, you think that they're the ones who brought that into your life, like it just dropped on you or something. They make me so mad. No, they don't make you mad. What has happened is, they're a fire that has come into your life, and that anger that you had hidden down, it's just brought it to the surface. So that you have to face it. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? Am I relating to anybody in this place?
And then you gotta start praying.
See, Job's situation didn't change until he started praying for his friends. See? You understand what I'm saying? See, I had to learn that. See, I'll go to God, I was just like everybody else. I was a pastor, leader, prophet. I'd prophesy, pray for people being healed, everything. God ain't impressed with none of that stuff. How many believe that? God is not impressed with any miracles, any prophecies that come to pass, all that kind of stuff. He's not impressed with none of that. You know why He's not impressed with none of that? Because it's Him. He's not impressed with Himself. Alright? What He is impressed with, though, seriously, what He is impressed with when you learn how to love those who are not lovable.
Yeah.
When you're capable of doing it and it doesn't move you, and you don't point the finger at them, and actually, you actually are moved. You understand what I'm saying? By their situation. With compassion. And then you begin to lay down your life. Oh, come on, somebody. You begin to lay down your life in prayer for that person. Okay? And as you begin to lay down your life in prayer for that person, then God begins to get this stuff out of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because anybody relate to this? The problem is when we don't get this revelation and we continue to point the finger and blame everybody else, see? Then what happens is, this stuff don't get taken out. The blacksmith don't get to scoop it off of the what? The top. It just remains. And the fire just keeps getting hotter, and more stuff just keeps rising to the top. And we just keep pointing the finger, and every time we point the finger, He's not allowed to scoop it out. You see? And the pain just keeps increasing. Until we finally get the revelation that it's not about them at all. It's always been about you. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Woo! That's when you start to grow up. Hallelujah. Stop your whining. And your crying. Man, I used to come right here in the church. Used to come over here by myself and whine. And cry about what other people were doing to me. Because I'm serving the Lord. Anybody been there? I'm serving the Lord. I'm doing what God told me to do, and nobody else wants to do it. I'm Elijah on top of the mountain. And he said, all of them are gone. They're all dead. It's just me. It's just me left crying. He's up there crying. God tells him to shut up. And he says, no, it ain't just you. He said, I got 7,000 that you know nothing about. How many believe He's got some things we don't know nothing about? How many believe He's got some people He had around us that we don't know nothing about? Hallelujah. We got to get our eyes. See, when you point the finger at everybody else, that means your eyes are all on your... We got to stop this, y'all. We have to grow. We have to grow up. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And we have to stop blaming everybody and everything. And we have to realize that, you know what? We're in the situation that we're currently in because we got ourselves there. But the good news is, when you want to accept that responsibility, God is waiting. Just waiting to work with you to get everything what? Get everything in order. Get everything straight. Okay? And He's there. He's there 24/7. He's just waiting on you. You know, the church sits around and says, oh, we're waiting on God to come back. No. He's been back. How do you believe He's been back? He's been back. I told y'all the second coming happened in Acts. Everybody's looking for the second coming. Second coming happened in Acts. I can prove it in Scripture. That's why the churchmen sitting around looking for another coming. And they continue to point their finger. Everybody. See? And their wife just keeps getting what? Worse. And they keep saying, well, Jesus is coming back one day to save us from all this. How great is the pain going to have to get? How great. It got pretty rough in my life before I stopped pointing the finger. I was one of those bullheaded people, you know. I know I'm the only one. Just bullheaded, you know. It's got to be everybody else's what? It's got to be their fault, man. If they would just do what they're supposed to do, then my life would be great. Huh? We're pretty self-righteous, huh? That's what we're saying. If we would do everything, what we really say is this. If they would do everything that we want them to do, then we would be happy. How many believe that? That's never going to happen. People aren't doing what God wants them to do. Why are they going to do what you want them to do? I done told you this. You don't even do what you want to do. Why is anybody else going to do what you want to do? It's a new year, right? I told y'all. This is the time it happens, too. The new year, you know, everybody goes, it's like, oh, I'm going to join the gym. I'm going to be looking good by the end of the year. They all start. I'm making a new year's resolution. Well, by this time, February, March rolls around, they done quit. They join the gym, but they don't go. Right? So, my point is, did they want to go? Apparently, if they paid the money, but they didn't even do what they wanted to do what? Why is someone else going to do what you want them to do when you don't even do what you want to do? I got the card. Still paying though, because they done stuck you with like a 6-month membership or something, so you gotta pay 6 months, three, you know, whatever. Right? But you stop going. Still paying. We're paying for a lot of things because we haven't received the payment that He paid. And He'll let us try to pay until we figure out we can't what? Can't pay. You understand what I'm saying? Let's go deep into this thing. I want to go deep into it tonight, all right? I just skimmed the surface just then. I'm trying to tell you that this is all about you and God. And this is not about what anyone else is doing. You can control what you and God want you to do. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever it is, Him, I can't control that. You understand? But and what we do is we're so worried about this. We don't do nothing over here because we're too busy looking over there. Listen to me. Catch this tonight. Stop doing that and catch this message that God's going to bring forth. And it will change your life. I promise you. It will change your life. Okay? You have to get, it's a different way of See? It's amazing. Like people, I watch like Obama. Like Obama controls like a bunch of Christians. Like they, all they do is sit around and talk about Obama. Obama don't even know they exist.
No.
Yet Obama is running their life.
Yes.
He's controlling them. And he don't even know they... And neither does he care. But they care. Y'all catching what I'm saying? Because they blame this. If it wasn't for him, we had this. No. What about you? What are we missing because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing? I got... That's right. Come on. Huh? You don't hear nobody sitting around that. Hey, man, we're all suffering because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You don't hear nobody say nothing like that, do you? No. I'm setting the tone right now for you to receive what else I got to say. This ain't really what I have to say. I'm just setting the tone for what I have to say. Because if you have that way of thinking I just mentioned, you'll never be able to receive what I have to say. Okay? Let me read the rest of this and let's get into this real strong, alright? What he says is, look, verse 6. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship one with another even when they, what? They're not doing what we have fellowship. We don't cut them. You understand what I'm saying? He says, and that, look, when we do that, now look, the problem is why sin is not getting cleansed, because this is all connected. He says, when we do this, then it, look what it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from what?
All sin.
Wow, wait. Some sin?
All.
Oh, wait. And you see, all those religions and denominations say that it's impossible for you to be sinless in this world. Because they want to justify pointing the finger. You understand what I'm saying? They want to justify them pointing the finger. Because he's saying if you stop pointing the finger, he's saying that the work I did will cleanse you of all sin. And you'll be what? You'll be without what? Sin. Is it true? Why do they say, oh, you can't be without sin? Because they don't want to fellowship one with... Because they want to continue to blame everything on their what? On their brother. Y'all understand? It's the old thing. This ain't new. Go back to Genesis where one brother killed the other one. Is it true? Who's the church's worst enemy? Satan? The world? The brothers. The brothers are killing one another. It's killing one another. You see? Because really the brothers are the only ones that have the power to kill. Because he said life and death are in the power of your tongue. He didn't say, he said ye are the light of the world. He didn't say they were the light of the world. He said ye are the light of the world. Isn't that something? We're blaming it on the darkness and he said you're the light. That means the darkness don't run nothing. Do y'all realize that? That Obama is a product of what the church is speaking. Oh, yeah. If you don't believe me, you need to study the Bible. Because it says Nebuchadnezzar was ruling the world and there was one man that got things in order. And then he went before God and he took responsibility for all the sins of all the body of Christ. That man's name was Daniel. Oh, we need some Daniels. We need some Daniels. That man got everything in order, and when he got everything in order, then what did he say? Well, look at me, I got everything in order. No, he stood in the gap and said, look, I am them people, and they are me. And I'm asking for mercy on all of us, because we are out of order. And you know what happened? Immediately God sent Gabriel. Immediately. He said, Gabriel shows up. He said, as soon as I begin to speak, I was sent. See, God is tired of people pointing the finger, and He wants somebody to get things in order. And when they get things in order, He don't want them to say, oh, look at me, I got things in order. No, He wants them to say, look, I am all the people, and they are me, and I take responsibility. And you know what happens then? God can work. He can work. You understand what I'm saying? He can work. Gabriel shows up, and what happens? He gives him a revelation. And then what happens? So he goes back, does this. Then there was a battle. See, because when Gabriel showed up and gave his revelation, then Daniel goes back to prayer, and then Gabriel don't show up for 21 days, but he sticks with it. And then Daniel says, well, where you been? He said, I've been withheld by the prince of Persia. Now Daniel's causing them to fight in the heavens. Y'all understand that? And he won. And then get this. Now what happens? This man named Daniel, this ruler, what happens to this ruler? Not just Nebuchadnezzar, there were so many of them. There was all of them. They all had to come bow down to Daniel. Every one of them. See, Bob would have to bow down if the church would take responsibility and stop pointing the finger and get things in order, because Obama, they don't have no authority to do nothing anyway. God gives him authority to mess things up, to cause suffering on the what? Church. To cause fire on the church. Until, see how much fire it takes to wake them up.
Yes.
And stop blaming him. And stop blaming the government. And stop blaming the schools. And stop blaming everybody else. It's getting hot in here. You understand? We got to stand up and be accountable for what's taking place in this world. We don't have to, but how much do you want to go through before you stop pointing the finger? Because you know what? That fire can get really hot. Believe me, you're looking at somebody who it got pretty hot on. You understand what I'm saying? And it don't matter how bullheaded you are. Everybody, it says every knee. It don't say shall neither. It says should. What does that mean? Oh, it's a law. Shall is a prophecy. Should is a law. Y'all hear me? If you don't believe me, go back and look at it yourself. That all the preachers misquote it. They say shall. And then what is it called? It causes the people to say shall. It don't say shall. It says should. There's a big difference between shall and should. Shall is some future date. You know why it's a future date? Because these preachers are looking for a future bailout. You understand what I'm saying? It's not going to happen. The Jesus is here right now. And He's been waiting on us to get things and to take responsibility. And then He can work with that. And then He can change things. And then He can cause the enemies to do what Nebuchadnezzar did. Then He can cause them to do this. And you know what Nebuchadnezzar said? Up to half my kingdom is yours. Daniel could have said, I'll take the whole kingdom if I want it. What are you going to do about it? You know what Daniel said? I want to see the preachers do this today. He said, you can keep your kingdom. Because you know why? Daniel knew it was his. He knew it was his anyway. You see, it says God raised Pharaoh up to do those things to Israel. Why? Because Israel's doing the same thing the church is doing today. What were they doing? Pointing the finger and telling everybody how godly they were, and that they were suffering because they were godly. Is that right? I'm suffering. The church thinks they're suffering because they're godly. No. They're suffering because they're ungodly. Spirit bears strong witness to that, amen? Because I got scriptures that say, if you get things in order, it says the wicked one toucheth you. You ever read that?
I have.
People don't want to hear that, though, do they? Because we're in a generation that loves to pawn things off on everybody else. No one, it's never their fault. Never. No. Never. No. It's always so and so. It's this and that. So. Alright? Y'all ready to get in sync? You say, my God, you're not in it yet. Well, we're getting, they're trying to get there. Go to Genesis 1 real quick. Go to Genesis 1:26. 1:26. It says, and God said, let us make, that word man needs to be a dom. It don't need to be man. It needs to be a dom. There's a big difference in a dom and a man. A dom is a son of God. Man is not the son of God. How many believe that? If you don't believe me, Adam is the son of God. Turn to Luke chapter 3 and look at the last verse. It says, Adam, the son of God. Adam is different than man. So, men were here. Y'all must understand this. Men were here long before Adam came on the scene. So, men were here long before 6,000 years ago. Men have been here for I don't know how long. I like these physicists. I read this article last night. These physicists are arguing now. They said this, that they may have messed up with the Big Bang Theory, that the universe might be, not even older. They said that it might not have a beginning. It was headlines yesterday. Y'all, they're arguing over the theory right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, seriously. They said, no, I don't know. Because they said when it gets down to a certain point, the mathematics won't work out. They said, this thing may not have had a beginning. Well, what? My Bible says something like that. Doesn't it? All right. Okay. So anyway, but Adam, listen, your Bible that you're holding in your hand is not the history of man. It's the history of the sons of God. That's what it is. That this world has been here for a long time, and who knows how many men have lived and come and gone, and ancient civilizations have been here, and so on and so forth. But the sons of God didn't show up till 6,000 years ago. Now, what I want you to see is the sons of God, Adam was the sons of God, so Adam represented a nation. Adam wasn't just one person. I'm going to show you that in the Scripture. Adam was not just one person. Adam was a generation of people. Just like Christ is a what? Is a nation. Christ is not one person. Okay? Now, I'll get to that in a second. That's in Genesis chapter 5. It's in black and white. It's really easy to read. But because people have been stuck under these denominations and they're born and all stuff, they can't see it even though it's right in front of their face. Because they grew up taught that other stuff. And when they're taught that, they just read right. They just read right over it. Instead of studying it out. Alright? Okay. But I want to concentrate on this word image right here. Y'all see that word image? So it says, let us make a dom in our what? Image. That word image, a word for that is phantom or ghost. Let us make a dom into our ghost, our phantom. Hence the word Holy Ghost. Everybody heard the Holy Ghost before? So that's where that comes from. It comes right there from that word, image. It means phantom. It means to shade in. This is very important. It means to shade in. You ever draw outline and then shade it? Does that make sense? I'm fixing to give you a secret. The fleshly body is the outline. And you're supposed to let God shade in with the Holy Ghost phantom. Now I'm going to get into that. I want to show you that the Holy Ghost or phantom is the Son of God. I'm going to show you that. Alright? Very simple. Alright? Very simple. Okay? So, and God took His Son who was a image and broke that image into many pieces. And he wants, and he has one just for you, just for your outline. And he, if you'll let him shade it, if you'll let it shade it in. And when he shades it in, that which is shaded in will take place, will take the place of that which was. So the first will end up being last, and the last, which is the part that's shaded in, ends up being
first.
Do y'all see this? The difference between the Son of God and the Son of Man. Very, very important. I'm going to show you where Jesus called Himself the Son of Man most of the time, and then sometimes He called Himself the Son of God. This is very, very important. Very, very important. Because they're different. The Son of Man is the outline. The Son of God is that which is shaded in or transposed. You ever took an image? My wife just bought some equipment to do shirts and stuff. And what it is, it's a machine that you take this image, okay, and this image is on paper, and you take that image, and that machine will take it by what? What does it use? Heat. Imagine that. Uses heat. The machine uses heat. You take this image that's on this sheet of paper, and the machine uses heat, and it will transpose the image that's on the paper onto the shirt. You say, y'all understand what I'm saying? We have all these things in the natural to show us what God is doing in the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, when it says, let us make Adam into our image, our phantom, our Holy Ghost, what he's saying is, let me be standing among people and they know not that I'm there.
Amen.
Because they're just looking at the outside. What did he say? He said, don't judge by the outward. You need to look at what's been shaded. Because, listen, there's a Holy Ghost that can be shaded in, and there's a ghost that can be shaded in.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? I've seen a lot of ghosts, and some of them ain't the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Is that right? Because
yes.
The enemy will mimic what God does. Okay, now I'm going to show you that Adam was a nation of people. Go to Genesis chapter 5. Flow with me with this. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. Alright? Let's read this very slowly, carefully. It says, Genesis 5, 1, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. So right there it lets you know that there's generations of Adam, and Adam has to be, when you talk about there's generations, you say there's generations of this nation. Is that right? So it's saying right here that these are the generations of the nation Adam. Now, I'll prove it to you. Because if Adam was just a man that God started off with, then we got a problem. Because look what it says verse 2. Well, verse 1 says, In the day that God created man, in the likeness, again, remember, that word man should not be what? It should be Adam. These translators, they do this because they translate stuff to fit their way of thinking. So you can look at, I challenge you, buy your concordance, get your thing, look at it for yourself. It should be Adam. It says, in the likeness of God made he him. Now look, verse 2, there's a problem. Male and female created he, them. Wait a minute. It don't say he created he, him. It says he what? Have you ever seen, you say, see, Adam wasn't what do they call those people who are female, male? Hermaphrodite? Adam wasn't a hermaphrodite. That's what people think. They say, oh yeah, he was male and female. I'm sure. Now, sure, the ones that are getting those operations, they probably say that too. See, I'm just going to be like Adam. He was male and female. See, right there, it was male and female. No! It was talking about that the nation had males in it and the nation had females in it. Do you understand? Does that make sense? And He created them. You say, my God, I've been in church all my life and I've never seen that. There's a lot in that Bible you've never seen. And it's right in front of your face. Isn't it amazing how the enemy through denominations can blind the eyes of the people? Because I was on the phone yesterday with a pastor and he's under a certain ordination or denomination. And I told him, he said, well, they don't mess with me in my teaching or anything. I said, well, they might not mess with you in your teaching or anything, but I said, you can never go higher than them. Do you understand that? You can never go higher than them because you have made them your head. And you can never go higher than the head. Let me give you an example in the natural. If you work for a company, the head of the company is the CEO. You can't go higher than the CEO. Is that right? If you work in that company, you may work your way up to right under the CEO, but you can't go higher than that. The only way you can go higher than that is quit and start your own. Is that right? How much more in the Spirit? When I used to have an ordination with a group too up until 2011. And in my ordination or whatever, they never messed with me or whatever. They never come. I've never even seen them. They just took my money. I mean, there's a lot of people just take your money. Right? So they take my money and send me this 5-cent card. I don't even think it costs 5 cents, probably, but anyway, they take my $250 every year and send me this couple cent card, seriously. Right? Here's the thing. God spoke to me, He said, don't get that renewed. I said, well, you know, they have lawyers and stuff, so if something comes in or whatever, you can call on them, you know, and their lawyers will come out there, whatever, if the church gets in a bind or whatever. He said, I said, don't renew it. I said, okay. Then you know what he did? He began to show me all what I'm showing you right now. He would not show it to me until I got out from under them people. You see? Because, too, if I'm saying, well, they got lawyers and stuff to help me out, I'm looking
somewhere else.
You see what I'm saying? You don't think he's a good lawyer? He's a good lawyer. Am I saying, though, that people shouldn't be under people? I'm not saying that. But there's people that God sends that come to me and say, I'm supposed to be under you. But I'm not a denomination. I don't make you sign all kinds of paperwork. Did disciples do that?
No.
You understand what I'm saying? There is order in the Spirit, yes.
Yes.
Okay. But God has never, I'm fixing to hurt some people's feelings. God has never, ever, not one time, I'm not saying He hadn't been with men that were men of God, that were in these organizations. He's been with the men, but He ain't never started those organizations. Not once has He started one of those organizations. Never was any, I don't care what you name, it don't matter what you want to pick one of them, it don't matter. He's never started one of them. Ever. Show me where He started one in that Bible organization. Peter got up and said, I'm the organization of... Paul said, I'm the organization... Nuh-uh. What did He say? He said, come out from amongst them. Get out of there. Why? Because they're going to have you... I know men of God that are a part of it. They're men of God, but they're bound just like I was. I was bound to a degree. I never saw that, what I just read to you then, until I got out from under that and then I saw it. Why? Because the organization I taught Adam was a single man. I could not see beyond who I had made my head. Do you know? Because see, the eyes are in the head last time I looked. that this body cannot see beyond what the head can what? See. Isn't that true? If the head is blind, the body's blind. But see, so if you make these people your head, then he said the blind, he said blind lead the blind. He said both of you are going to fall off in the pit. You see, in the ditch, pit. Alright? Y'all catching this? Okay? Now, let me explain what I'm saying. Now, y'all ready to go further with this? So, this is about two nations. Mm-hmm. Now, Rachel, how many remember her? Who is Rachel? I mean, not Rachel, but I'm going back to, I get them confused sometimes. Rebecca. Isaac's wife. I get them mixed up sometimes. Rebecca, Isaac's wife, was pregnant with twins. And God said that these twins were two nations. One was named Esau. The other was named Jacob. Esau got his name. Both of them got their name changed, by the way. Both of them. Esau gets his name changed when he sells his birthright for a bowl of beans. When he sells his birthright for a bowl of beans, he comes in from hunting. He says, "I'm famished unto death. I hang around religious people. Religious people. Oh, I'm gonna be quiet, maybe. Maybe. Maybe not." They're like, I haven't ate. I'm so hungry unto death. Oh, like he was hungry unto death. He missed one meal and he thinks he's going to die. Religious people miss one meal. They think the world has come to an end.
Amen.
I got one amen. Huh? Come on. Like, oh, God. And what he say? He said, I'm famished unto death. And there's Jacob. Jacob's sitting there. He's got a big old bowl of beans. He's eating them. He's like, "Give me them beans." Jacob said, "Mm-mm." Said, "I'll give them to you if you'll give me your birthright." And this is what Esau said. He said, "What does that birthright profit me?" Religious people that are stuck in these denominations, a lot of times when they hear this truth I'm speaking, they'll say, "What does that profit me? I'm going to stick with my bowl of beans," which is the denomination. I'm going to stick with my bowl of beans over here because my bowl of beans, it gives me money and puts food on my... See, because when you start preaching like I'm preaching, they kick you out. They give you the fellowship. It's the left foot of fellowship. I've been kicked out of several churches. But the last one they went to kick me out of, they couldn't. They had to leave. They did. They were going to kick me out. I saw it. They were going to kick me out in the fire of...
Amen.
The fire of Almighty God come in that place, and they're like... Oh, and they went... Oh. They ran out. John was there. They left. They left. And they called me later. And they told me, "That stuff you're preaching, blah, blah, blah." I tried nice. I said, I will come meet with you. That's what I told them. I said, "I will come meet with you and I'll sit down and go over every one of these scriptures with you." And I said, "I'll do it." They said, "No, they want my fellowship." I get emails. They still email me. They don't know they're emailing me. They're emailing me all the time because I'm on their email list. They got so many people on their email list that they forgot to X me out. And they're all the time emailing, asking prayers because one by one they're coming down with cancer. See, cancer is the body eating it because it won't have fellowship with one another. I don't have cancer. You understand? And I'm not getting it because I'm staying fellowship.
Amen.
It's sad. The head leader. They just had did an operation. They send me stuff all the time. So and not that I'm checking. I don't have no Facebook account. You're not, unless the Lord comes in a powerful visitation and tells me to get on Facebook, I am not getting on Facebook. He's going to have to come in an earth-shaking visitation. I don't get on Facebook. I don't dig in other people's lives. I'm not looking into what they're doing. But I'm getting these emails because they're sending them to me. And they have these operations and they'll pray. See, they'll pray. See, it's fun. It's not funny, y'all. I was there years ago. They saw me. They was there. They took me to a man who was diagnosed with cancer. He had 3 months to live. I prayed for him and the cancer went away.
Amen.
But yet, 2 years later, they called me a devil. And yet, now they have cancer. And then they want prayer meetings like their cancer is going to go away. It's not going away till they repent and take responsibility. Y'all understand? And they can pray for their brother and pray and pray and pray. It ain't going to do nothing. But see, they don't blame that. You know what they blame on all the emails? The devil. The devil's attacking us. The devil. Yeah, the devil. God was the devil that's attacking them, trying to get them to wake up and get things in order. People have pride, man. It's tough. Listen, I don't take joy in that. God knows I have cried a many a tear, but I stopped crying though. Because I learned crying don't do any good neither. It just brings me down. And all I can do is just keep praying that their faith fail them not. At some point they would humble themselves and wake up and change. Because they had God standing among them in a phantom. And it was in me. But they kicked him. And then they call and they want him to heal their cancer when he's been there the whole time trying to heal their cancer. But they don't want it because they don't want to hear the truth. Because they want their bowl of beans. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Listen, he said, what does this profit me? He said, okay, I'll do it. You can have the birthright. Just give me them beans. How long do you think those beans lasted? They probably gave him gas. Probably lasted a while. He ate them beans. He probably gobbled them up in a couple minutes, but they probably stuck with him for a little while. And then it was over, wasn't it?
Yes.
And then he was hungry. Again. Hungry again. But this time, but he didn't have no what? He had no birthright or beans. You understand what I'm saying? You say, this guy's crazy. I don't know what he's talking about. Listen, the birthright is your part of the Son of God. Let me slow that down for you. See, I told you that every outline, catch this out, every outline, there's a part of the Son of God that He wants to transpose in that outline. Come on. But when you say, I don't want it. You say, well, here's the thing. If you don't let Him transpose His outline, then somebody else is going to transpose theirs. Does that make sense? But there will be one transposed, one way or the other, and it's going to be light or what? If it's not His, it's darkness. Anybody else's is darkness. How many believe that? See, this is why Yahshua said, if I came in somebody else's name, He said you'd receive me. He said, but I came in my Father's name. And you won't receive me. See, I came to those people over there not in my name. I came in my Father's name. He told me to stand among them people and say, if you've seen me, you've seen Yahshua. I did. I stood right in front of them. And then when I said that, guess who took over?
He did.
Woo, my God, he did. I have not preached like that since. It was crazy. It scared me. It takes a lot to scare me. I had to fear God. He was speaking so powerfully through me. I could physically feel the manifestation of the words of God hitting my mouth. And it was moving the people back who were sitting in front. And the kids, you know who received what God was saying though? There was a group of kids that were on house arrest.
Amen.
Imagine that. They was all sitting up front. And you know what they did? They stood up and tears were rolling down their face. Receiving it. And the big shot preachers were either outside or bound to their chair and gnashing at their...
Wow.
He said many that are first will end up last. And many that are last shall end up first. Y'all understand that? Why? Because many that are first, they think they're better than what God's going to transpose. They think they're somebody. You know. And me, the ones that are last know they're not somebody.
Yeah.
So they're looking for something to be transposed.
Yeah.
Y'all understand what I'm saying? Alright, let's go further in this thing. Hang with me. Like, get your seatbelt. Alright, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:41, and you'll see what we'll bring this revelation along. So there's these two nations. There's these two nations, one's spiritual and one's natural. Esau, his name was changed to what? Edom. Edom means, listen, Edom means earthy. So earthy means what? Natural. Jacob's name was changed too. His name was changed to Israel. Israel means prince, or here's the one. This is the powerful one. It literally means he will rule as God. That's what Israel means. Who's going to rule as God? I tell you who rules as God. The one who lets God transpose his son in them.
Amen.
Y'all hearing me? Whoever will let God transpose His Son into them will end up ruling as God.
Amen.
Is that powerful?
Yeah.
Now look, it speaks to these two nations right here. It says, there is one glory of the sun. There is another glory of the what? Of the moon. There's another glory of the what? Stars. One star different from what? Another star in glory. Verse 42. So also in the resurrection of the dead, look, it is sown in corruption. What does that mean? It's sown in the natural. Y'all see it? It's sown in the natural. But what does it say? It's raised in incorruption. Sowed in natural, raised in the spirit. Jesus Himself was sown in the natural and raised in the spirit. I'm going to show it to you.
What chapter was that,
brother? It's 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 41. Now we're on 42. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It was 42. We're on 42. I'm going to 43. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It's raised in corruption. Look, verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. The flesh brings nothing but
dishonor.
That's it. Listen, I don't care how, whatever you do in flesh, it's going to end in dishonor. Isn't it so?
Yeah.
All these people they talk about are so great now, they talk about how great they are, they're dead.
Yeah.
They wasn't great when they were here.
No.
They only get great to the generation that they're not around. Is this true?
Yeah.
It's true. Just like those painters and stuff, when they were painting all that stuff, nobody wanted that stuff.
No.
So they die. Now it's so valuable. Oh, he was a genius.
Yeah.
What they said when he was alive? They said he's a crazy idiot, fool, hangs out there painting a super painting. What's wrong with that crazy idiot? Is it true? The flesh, listen, there's nothing dishonor in the flesh. But look, if it is raised in what? Glory. Look at this. It is sown in weakness. The flesh is nothing but what? Weak. That's all it is. The strongest flesh. You see these bodybuilders now? Like, golly. Like, I used to, like, be into lifting weights and stuff. I grew up, like, getting Arnold Schwarzenegger and stuff and all that. Right? Well, these guys now are way bigger, right? But they started dying now in their 30s and 40s. And you'll have these guys, they'll look real awesome on the outside, but they said when they cut this guy open, he was full of tumors. Wow. Looked all healthy on the... but all rotten on the inside. So, see, he wasn't really what? Strong. It was weak. You see, weak. The flesh can't do nothing but produce weakness. That's all it can do. Look, it is raised in what? Power. Hallelujah. The sooner you find out that you're weak in the flesh, the sooner the Spirit can come bring you what? Power. Y'all catching it? Alright? Look, verse 44. It is sown in the natural body. It is raised in the... Okay, so, just like my brother here, I can only see his natural body unless God lets me have a grace where I'm looking into the Spirit and I see the body that's a ghost behind the natural body. Because there's a body behind that body. When that body behind that body leaves that body is dead. Is that, you understand what I'm saying? You can, the only way you can look at the other body, the spiritual body at all is through the what? The eyes. That's it. You ever see a dead person, they don't even have that, they call it life in the eyes, but it's actual what? There's a light actually, isn't there? It's a light that comes out of everybody's eyes. It's a light. It's, even people that are real dark still have a little light coming out of their eyes, is it? When you see a dead body, it has no what? There's no light. It's gone. God is light. God, even the people who are the worst, quote, sinners, have a little God in them, or they wouldn't be alive. Do y'all hear me? That body wouldn't be what? Wouldn't be here. It'd be dead. Come on, somebody. Help me out with me. There's got to be a little God in there to keep that body, to keep that body moving. Because see, dead, see, when you look up dead in the dictionary, death, it's a sensation of life. Okay? But really, the definition of death is when God's Spirit stops having any kind of fellowship with something. When the Spirit of God completely leaves anything, then death happens. Does that make sense? That's what death really is. So death is the absence of the presence and influence of the Spirit of God. That's what death is. Death is the absence of the presence or influence of the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God stops influencing something, it what? That's why, what did he say? To prove this scripturally, right? God said, now man ain't going to live but 120 years because my Spirit, wait. My Spirit is not going to always strive with them. So there's the connection. He's saying, my Spirit is only going to strive with them 120 years, so now they're going to die at 120 years. That's all they can live because my Spirit will not strive with them any longer than that. So they will die. They'll not live longer than that anymore. When they used to live longer. Y'all see what I'm saying? Listen. When the Spirit's influence with man has always been the manifestation of the Son of God. Does that make sense? That's always been. Okay? But the only difference in the Old Testament, the Son was not offered to everybody. Does that make sense? Wasn't offered to everybody. It was only offered to a chosen group of people. But that chosen group of people didn't want to receive that transposing. So God decided to divorce them and say, whosoever will believe, then they shall become the sons of God. Because I'll give my son to them. I'm not going to limit it to this group of people. I'm going to change it from Israel to whosoever. Now, was some of Israel whosoever? Some of them were. But not all were. Very few. You see? Hallelujah. Y'all catching this? Is this making any sense?
Amen.
Did Israel have a glory? Yes. But was Israel sown in corruption?
Yes.
Oh, I'm fixing it. Yeah. But what will Israel be raised in? Incorruption. You understand? Does this make sense? Listen. Esau represented Israel. Esau, the birthright was legally Esau's. But Esau didn't want it. So it went to somebody else. Y'all understand this? Okay? Now, does that mean... Now listen, I'm fixing to get deep with you. Does that mean that Esau was completely cut off?
No.
He was for a season. Catch this. He was for a season. When Jacob meets him with the families... He said, brother, is as I have looked into... Oh, gosh, shut up, mama. Woo! He said, brother, is as I have looked into the face of God. Now, he's talking about when he saw Esau. What did that say? What was that about? It was a prophecy of what? The future. Wasn't it? As a prophecy of the future. It says, I know it says in Hebrews, I know what Paul said, he said that Esau, he sought for repentance in what? In tears. And did not what? Find it. He didn't find it in this life. But he found it. When did he find it? When Jesus came and preached to him. How many believe that? Let me believe it. Listen, do you think God is going to allow two brothers that were two nations that shared the same womb to end up completely going two different ways and stay gone two different ways? Or do you think He's going to end up... Because see, those twins start off as...
One.
Did they not? He uses this thing over and over. He used the two brothers, Esau, Jacob. He also used the two women of Israel, didn't he? They were two what? Sisters. They came from the same womb. And they ended up being married to the same man.